Con, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining me. Now, this $400 million contract to be paid to Construct seems to be an astronomical sum for the taxpayer to be spending on offshore detention. Is this just the tip of the iceberg?
It is. You have to understand that we've now spent $10 billion from 2013 to 2017 just to lock up a few thousand human beings, that for 1,000th of that cost, we could have safely resettled here in Australia, and these people would be working, contributing, paying taxes. It's actually obscene. And not only is the $400 million obscene to lock up 150 children that are still in the Roo, hundreds of women and fathers, but also that Construct will also have a responsibility to manage the welfare of the people on that island. This being an engineering and building firm with no experience in delivering anything like that. So it is again a reminder of how far our government will go at any cost to us to do everything but the right thing, which is to bring these people here to safety.
It's completely correct. They are going to inordinate lengths and are spending vast amounts of money. And as you said, it would be much, much cheaper and more productive to simply bring those people to Australia. Now, as we've seen with previous instances of management of detention centres, it doesn't seem to go very well. You mentioned or expressed some scepticism in the potential of Construct managing detention centres. What could be the consequences of handing over something like this to an organisation which doesn't really have skills in this area?
Look, I've just come from being inside Manus Island Immigration Centre itself just a couple of days ago. And that, you know, shows you firsthand what an extraordinary failure this offshore model of torturing refugees has been. What I saw there is the same stuff playing out already on Nauru, which is people being physically abused and assaulted by guards, six people having died on Manus, a couple having died on Nauru. On Nauru, there were over 30 incidences of sexual assault towards women and children, and none of the guards, and this is by guards, employed by contractors that were running Nauru at the time, none of those people were brought to safety. There were reports of women being asked to show their naked bodies in return for being allowed to shower their child for two more minutes, or being asked to show their child's naked body. They're the sort of horror stories. We've had endless inquiries by the government that have shown that when you privatize immigration detention centers and when you monetize people's suffering, the consequences are always disastrous because they work in a culture of impunity where saving money at all costs while spending billions is how it works. And at the heart of what happens is that people's welfare, safety, dignity, and human rights are the first things that go. And so it's going to be disaster again. Look at the disaster under Wilson Security, under Serco, under G4S. These multinationals, it's appalling and disgusting that this company is going to sit and make hundreds of millions of dollars of the suffering of children, women and men that should have been resettled in Australia years ago, because about 3 years ago that about 90% of them were found to be refugees.
You mentioned you have just returned from Manus Island. Now, I understand representatives from the UNHCR have stated that the situation there is deteriorating day by day. Now, the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, of course, you're doing a lot to try and help these people in this situation. What current assistance is being provided to any refugees on Manus Island?
Well, I think the most important thing to understand is whilst there are organisations like ours that are doing our best to provide assistance by connecting them to doctors, contributing money towards food that can be got into the centre, providing mental health support and legal assistance. The reality is inside that centre, nothing is being provided. 22 days ago today, the Australian government abandoned, at the time, 606 men, still over 400 in there now, and did so by cutting off their water, their food, their electricity, their medicines, and their access to doctors. They're all banned. And what I saw when I was there last week was a live horror show of people that are at risk of death, of infection, dysentery, chronic diarrhea everywhere, seeing people bedridden with epilepsy, with liver dysfunction, with diabetes whose medicines had run out, men with serious mental health issues whose medicines had run out. It was so distressing to watch people having to get water out of a well. Everything you have been watching and reading about Manus is actually true, having seen it firsthand myself, but it's actually much worse than anything you've seen or read. And it's really horrifying just to see all these men covering infections from their back to their ears to their eyes because the water they're bathing with, the same water they're cooking with, is the same water they're drinking, and that water is all full of bacteria and salt, and it's just awful. The whole thing is just so distressing, even just talking about a little, having lived, thinking about those men having lived it every day for 4.5 years.
If you've just joined us on The Daily this morning, we are speaking with Con Karapanagiotidis, founder and CEO of the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, and we're speaking about Australia's current refugee situation. Now, you were just detailing some of the horrors which you have recently seen on Manus Island with the very dire situation over there. Currently, there are, I believe you said, 400 people left. Is there an end in sight to the current situation?
Well, the only end in sight comes if Malcolm Turnbull is willing to stop torturing these men, quite honestly. So we had our Prime Minister a few weeks ago say, these men are no longer our responsibility. They're the responsibility of Papua New Guinea, the sovereign nation. And then the minute New Zealand offered to take 150, Australia were like, no, no, we don't want that. And then Dunning came out saying they could talk to Papua New Guinea, but they have to understand their diplomatic consequences. So what I saw firsthand there is there's a heavy presence still of border force and immigration staff there. They control everything that happens there. Even the day we were meant to fly into Manus, they cancelled our flight 10 minutes before on the orders of the Australian government, so that we and journalists weren't there on the day last week when they were trashing the centre. That's how far they'll go to cover up what's going on. So how does it change? Well, it changes by Malcolm Turnbull stopping to block New Zealand from taking 150 refugees. Malcolm Turnbull insisting that the United States quickly resettles. Only 22 of the men on Manus have been resettled, and 500 were interviewed for the US, and none of them have got an update in almost a year. And three, any that aren't settled by the United States and by New Zealand, have bring them here. That's it. We bring them here. The waste, the human suffering, the loss of life, the loss of human potential, finally it comes to an end, and we can get back some of our decency and our values and our morals as a country. Because if I could only bring every Australian into that camp, and if you could see for yourself, I can tell you now, no one would support a policy that leaves hundreds of human beings to die. That's what our government has done. It has left these men to perish. And the one thing that I took away when I came back was I was surprised only 6 men have died there so far. And I mean only as in, those 6 lives are huge, but I mean, I'm surprised hundreds haven't in the conditions those men are being kept in. It's like our own Guantanamo Bay, and it felt like that being inside that place.
Definitely a tragic situation, and something with such an easy solution. Now, Con, Australia's maintained an immigration detention scheme for nearly 30 years now. And there haven't been any major changes. That's despite big leaks of information about the conditions and some fantastic reportage and work from people on uncovering just exactly what people are going through in detention. Do you think there is hope for policy change in the near future?
I think there is. If you actually think about it, this government is so out of touch. This government is so out of touch. We saw it with marriage equality. We see it with climate change. We see it with recognition of treaty. We see it on their failure to act on violence against women. We see it in their failure to act on poverty. Look, this is no different. Polling actually shows that 3 out of 4 Australians, at a minimum in any poll taken the last year, want the men on Manus and the women, children and men on Nauru to be resettled somewhere safely. 95% in the polls show that Australians support them being reunited with their families, wherever their families may be. Australians are sick of this. I think Australians are increasingly uncomfortable and disgusted by what's going on. The government has done a good job for 20 years of getting us to think that we should be afraid of these people who are simply seeking our safety and protection. But I think it's starting to wear thin. All this mantra around, it's about saving lives at sea and it's about protecting people. A government can't claim that when it leaves over 400 people to perish. So I think public attitudes are changing. We're not the majority yet as an overall rule, but we are a minority of millions that I think have had enough. And you can see that in the political pressure being born. And the most valuable thing people could do today is they could actually get on the phone and call their local federal MP. It's easy to find. It's up on our... I did a video last night on our ASRC Facebook page. You can find it there or go to asrc.org.au. But pick up the phones. They are feeling the pressure. To have Dutton having to come to the table with New Zealand about taking 150, that was something we thought was never going to happen. And that's come from people's anger and outrage. So pick up the phone, call Turnbull's office, call Sheldon's office, call Pribicic, Bishop's office, put the pressure and simply say, one, we want these people to have immediate access to medical care so no one dies, and two, we want these people immediately evacuated to safety. And that's a simple thing. It takes a minute that anyone can do that's listening today.
Something we all can do to help. Con, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Give us details. Cheers.